Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, May 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the legislative session limps toward a close with no one quite satisfied and a veto threat creating the likelihood of a special session. Minnesota lawmakers are working to pass the remainder of their budget bills before tonight's midnight deadline for adjournment, but DFL Governor Mark Dayton is telling them to prepare for a special session. Dayton is standing by his threat to veto the bill that funds Minnesota schools after some closed-door meetings yesterday failed to resolve the impasse. Tim Pugmire reports.
For a third straight day, Governor Dayton said he will veto the entire education funding bill and force a special session. This time, he squarely blamed House Republicans for blocking the additional $150 million he wants spent on public schools and the $173 million he's seeking for half-day universal preschool.
If they think they can just say, well, we're going to finish on time, when they're going to send me something they know that I'm not going to sign, then they're responsible for the consequences, not me.
Dayton said Republicans need to explain to the public why ending the session on time and leaving $1 billion of surplus money unspent is more important than the needs of Minnesota's four-year-olds. He said a special session will help highlight the issue.
We'll find out then what they think when the spotlight's on them and the spotlight's on their intransigence, the House Republicans, and their unwillingness to do what's right for kids. Do us right for Minnesota.
Earlier in the day, Dayton met separately with Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd and DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach to try to resolve the matter. Dowd said he asked the governor to sign the bill legislative leaders agreed to, which will provide $400 million in new money for schools. Dowd said the governor should have pushed harder earlier for his preschool proposal.
He's had an opportunity with him and his staff to work on legislators and to build a groundswell of support for his number one policy provision. And the fact that it didn't pass the House and didn't pass the Senate, I think what that means is this provision probably needs some more time, and I think the governor is going to need to advocate for it more. We're not hearing from school districts that this is something that they're wanting.
House and Senate leaders said they abandoned two priority issues, transportation funding and tax cuts, in order to reach an elusive overall budget agreement and finish the 2015 session on time. Senator Bach said he cautioned the governor about the potential risk of vetoing the education bill and starting over. Still, Bach is expecting a special session.
I certainly support the governor and indicated to him that when he reaches an agreement with the House, I'd be delighted to come back to a special session that he calls, and I expect that the governor will have secured the votes in the House and the Senate to pass his agreed-upon language with the House Republicans.
The House and Senate have been working around the clock to finalize and pass several spending bills. That work is expected to continue until midnight. The absence of a big transportation funding bill forced lawmakers to settle for a one-page status quo bill to keep the Department of Transportation running. DFL Representative Ryan Winkler of Golden Valley used the minimal bill to ridicule House Republicans.
You ran a campaign on nothing. You have accomplished nothing. You are delivering nothing. Your entire majority amounts to nothing. This legislative session is a big zero.
But Republicans blame Democrats for insisting on a gas tax increase to fund transportation projects rather than the House GOP plan, which used existing money and borrowing. Republican Representative Tony Cornish of Vernon Center said his constituents won't stand for a gas tax increase.
The American Legion, go in there and tell you one way is their gas tax, those working stiffs, construction guys that come in from work, they think you're nuts. I don't want to pay any more gas tax.
It's unclear how soon legislators might return to St. Paul for a special session or where they will meet. The construction crews restoring the Capitol are scheduled to close down the House and Senate chambers this week, and delays could be costly. But Dayton shrugged off those concerns. He suggested they pitch a tent and set up some chairs on the Capitol lawn. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The Senate passed a bill early this morning that funds Health and Human Services programs for the next 2 years. The bill includes new funding for nursing homes and mental health programs, and it abandons big cuts legislators had discussed earlier in the year, including the elimination of MinnesotaCare, a health care program for the working poor. Senate Health and Human Services Chair Tony Laurie of Carrick said despite some spending cuts, he's happy with the bill.
There's also some incredibly important investments in this bill. We're investing in child protection. We're investing in mental health. Overall, this is a bill I'm going to be asking all of our colleagues to support.
The bill also makes some changes to MinSure, the state's online health insurance exchange. It requires officials to release premium costs earlier and to request a waiver from the federal government to expand subsidies to people who don't use the exchange when they buy insurance. The House and Senate also passed a higher education funding bill. The bill increases spending by $101 million for the Minnesota State Colleges and University System. It increases funding for the University of Minnesota by $53 million, including $30 million for the medical school. House Higher Ed Committee Chair Bud Nornes of Fergus Falls said the committee did not split the funding equally between the institutions this year because he felt MinSCU needed more.
There's not enough money for one thing. We could starve both systems or provide the adequate funding for, in this case, MinSCU, knowing that the university is not short of students.
Nornes said the bill would cut tuition over the next 2 years for two-year schools. There may be a tuition increase in the first year for MinSCU's four-year schools. We'll have much more here tomorrow about the legislative session, but I was thinking over the weekend, you know, it was just about 15 years ago that the state had a budget surplus. Back then, Jesse Ventura was the Independence Party governor. The Senate was controlled by Democrats, and the Republicans were in the majority in the House. They couldn't agree on what to do with the money, and finally they split it in an agreement that came to be known as a third, a third, a third. The Democrats used their third to spend more on education, the Republicans used their third of the surplus to cut taxes, and the governor used his third for his priorities. This year we have divided government again, but the outcome is much different. House Republicans aren't getting their top priority, their big tax cut. Senate Democrats aren't getting their top priority, their transportation plan. And Governor Dayton, at least for now, isn't getting his top priority, that pre-kindergarten plan for four-year-olds. Maybe this session will become known as the nothing, nothing, nothing session. Well, that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.